How you doing, everybody? This is your guy, Taz Angel, here with more car talk. Good conversation you can ride to. And I'm back with the final installment of the Memories of Black Family series. But before we get to that, gotta shout out the sponsor, Steven Johnson Windshield Repair, where they repair all chips and rock damage in windshields. Also, cracks in your windshield that are 6 inches and smaller. Just give them a call or text at 940-539-5912, where text messages are preferred for traceability purposes, where they can keep the documentation of your appointment times as well as your address. So again, give them a call or text, preferably text, at 940-539-5912, so they can give you a quote and get that windshield repaired as soon as possible. Now, I would like to thank everyone who has listened, watched, commented, liked, shared, supported this podcast, donated, painted, given equipment, who have done anything in their ability to support this podcast. And I ask that you just continue doing that and helping us grow together. Excuse me. I appreciate you guys for everything. And let's keep this thing moving, man. It's moving at a good pace. I like it. And let's pick it up. I think we can. I don't know if y'all think we can, but I believe in y'all. And I hope y'all believe in me. Otherwise, you wouldn't listen to me. So let's get this thing going faster, baby. Today's episode is going to be about my sister, my oldest sister, Bethany Johnson. So, have y'all ever had someone where you want to describe them or talk about them, but you literally get a flood of things to say? So you get the same feeling as if you can't say anything at all because you don't know which one to pick. It's kind of how I was with this. But let's start from the beginning. It's always a good place. The beginning. In the beginning, but in the beginning. my sister is right under 3 years older than me, 2 years and some change. Even though she is much shorter than I am. But speaking of which, I used to mess with her and talk about her. We would mess with each other, of course. And 9 times out of 10, she would always be the antagonist. She would always start things. But I would tell her that she's adopted. And even though it's not true. And I would tell her that because when we're all, when my immediate family, when we're all standing beside each other, she's the only one that looks different. I'll say that. So my mom is 5'10". My dad is 5'11". I'm 6'5". She's 5'3". So she is kind of the one that sticks out. So I used to mess with her about that, but my sister was my first friend as well as my first enemy. As kids, she would antagonize the crap out of me. I've always been able to entertain myself or keep myself entertained. I think is a better way to say that. I would be in the room. This is when I remember this. This is when I'm like 4 or 5, because I was born and raised for the first 10 years of my life in Jackson, Mississippi. Moved to Crystal Springs when I was 10 and stayed there until I went to college and blah, 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 blah. But in the first house that we were in, when I was, you know, a child, we moved away from there when I was 5. So anything that I remember from that house, which is quite a few things, was 5 and younger. So again, I would be in my room just playing with my toys. I didn't have a toy chest at the time. I got one later on, but at that time I kept all my toys in the milk crate, and I would go in there, get my toys, my action figures, be fighting them against each other, and she would just come in and like snatch them out of my hand, throw them on the ground, or just run around with them. Just like she would just bother me, man. She would literally just out of nowhere, like an RKO, just come in the room and bother me. So if you watched last week's episode, when I spoke about my parents, when I talked about the brawl at the gravesite, the brawl at the gravesite, I spoke about how animated I was when I got angry. And I told you I'd tell you more about it. So this lets you know how far back my animated behavior or anger was. My grandma, when my sister and I would go there, you know, like I said, we would spend summers with my grandma. When we would go there, one of the things that my grandma liked to watch was RoboCop. She watched In the Heat of the Night, a lot of shows, right? But one of them was RoboCop. Excuse me, I had an acidic beverage earlier that is causing a few burps. What I'm sipping on now is not acidic. And not alcoholic either. I said sipping on, so just making sure. But anyway, so also, as I told you with my grandmother, Annie Pearl, she is the reason why I got interested in both football and wrestling. One of her favorite wrestlers was The Undertaker. Yeah, because it's one wrestler. One of her favorite wrestlers was The Undertaker. One of his mannerisms, or one of the things that he was famous for, was people would knock him down, choke slam him, power bomb him, everything, right? And while they're walking around the ring celebrating, like say they power bomb him, poof, he's on the ground. Going to the crowd, pointing at him. Yeah, I told y'all I went. You know, going crazy, right? Celebrating. He would be laying down and then rise back up like. And when he would enter the ring and when he won, he would roll his eyes in the back of his head to celebrate as if he was like demonic or something. So he'd be like, right? All of that was incorporated in when I got mad. That's the reason why I spoke about it. RoboCop and Undertaker mannerisms, right? So she would say she'd come in the room and slap my toys in my hand and push me down. She would do stuff like that. Slap the toys out of my hand, push me on the ground. If I just started back playing with the toys, she would be okay. But if I looked back at her, like, she would sprint. Because it has gotten real. Once I get into my animation, once I start doing all the extra stuff, it's a wrap. Get out of there. So, she would run and I would start off walking like RoboCop. I'm talking about my hands were like this and everything. And once she started running, I'm right behind her. And I don't know if you guys remember me telling you, when I was younger, I think I said this last week, when I was younger, I was the small, fast guy. I wasn't the big, powerful guy like now. I was the smaller, fast guy. So I would catch her. And we had these two small stairs in the house that just, I mean, they, for the most part, didn't really serve a purpose. Because, I mean, you had one floor here, a step here, and then the floor here. So it was like maybe an 8-inch step. If the little steps weren't there, it was like an 8-inch elevation or whatever. So it wasn't really that big of a deal, but they were there. And what I would do whenever I would catch her, I would some kind of way get her on the ground. So either I would trip her or I would punch her in the stomach and make her bend over. Once I got her either on the ground or bent over, I would get a handful of hair and start right back to sprinting, dragging her. Again, I am no older than 5. The cap off age for me doing this is 5, because after 5, we moved from that house to a different part of Jackson, and we were living in apartments then. So all of this, me being able to have the thought in my mind to be able to catch her, trip her, or hit her in the stomach to bend her over, to get her leaned over. I don't want to say that weird because my sister. Hit her in the stomach to get her to lean over and then grab her hair and just drag. That's some crazy strategies for a 3 to 5 year old. I'm going to say 4 to 5. I'm just going to say 4 to 5. From a 4 to 5 year old, that's some wild plotting, okay? And strength, by the way, because again, she was like 2.5 years older than me. I'm born in 90, she's born in 87. So she's 2 years and some change older than me. So, and I remember this one time. After I got done dragging her, she was screaming, of course, "Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy!" So they come out there and stop me. but I still have my hand, like, I'm standing and looking at them. She's still on the ground, like, trying to get my hand off her hair, and I just have this death lock on her hair while I'm listening to them. 4 or 5 years old, bro. And my parents are like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it to your sister?" And I told them, she came in the room. I was playing with my toys. She came in the room, pushed me down, and slapped my toys out of my hand. And it was like, "Bethany, leave your brother alone." It's like, "You need to leave your brother alone." But that was just her. She was an antagonist when we were very young, right? But she got better. I'll close it. So, excuse me. Next phase. We're at the apartments, and this is from age 5 to 10. She was easier to deal with then, so she wasn't my enemy at the time. But she transitioned to being my manipulator. Anything that was stupid, or just something that should not be done, she was gonna influence me to do it. And I didn't have a big brother, right? I had a big sister. So I, just like a little boy would look up to his big brother, I ain't got that, so I'm gonna look up to my big sister. Hey, you leave me. Well, I'm moving around. You've been doing this longer than I have, being a kid and living in all of this. So, hey, show me the ropes, right? Wrong. But I'll never forget. She's gonna bust out laughing, if not be angry with me. But she'll bust out laughing too. There was this one time, we're looking, I'm telling you, I'm like, I can't be any more than 7 or 8. She might be like 9 or 10. We're at my grandma's house. And she was like, Steven, put your drawers in your butt and let's go show grandma. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. Put your drawers in your butt. Like, give yourself a wedgie. And let's go show grandma. All right. Because like I said earlier, I'm a rider. I'm about it. Shouldn't be, or should not have been at that point, especially. But I'm riding. You rocking, I'm rolling. We give ourselves wedgies, run in front of grandma. And my grandma just minded her business. She was, hey man. Anyway. Grandma just minding her business, watching TV. We run in front of grandma while she watching TV. Grandma, look! And mooned her, fam. We mooned our grandma. So if y'all watched the episode about my grandmother's, when I told you about Annie Pearl and her tree that was literally like made for switches, right there on her porch. That's what she went to. So we did that and ran out. Ran back to the room. Laughing. Take the wedgies out because it's over. Nah, come back here. Ma'am, come back here. We can come back in there. She's sitting there braiding her. So with the switches, when we were especially bad, she wouldn't just get one switch. She would get about 3 switches and literally plait them. You know how like you get braids that hang down, the plaits? She would do that with switches. So she's plaiting the switch. And of course we're pleading for our lives at that point. Nah, I don't want to hear none of that. Put the drawers back how you had them. And she went crazy on us. All right? As well she should. She just in there enjoying TV and 2 doggone bushes in her face. Hey, man, I do not blame her for that. She deserved, I'm sorry. She was well within her rights to whoop us. I didn't want to say deserve because it would have sounded like she deserved being mooned. But she was well within her rights to whoop the crap out of us at that point. That was well within her rights. So, back to her being the friend. Back to her being the friend. We would also sit in the room and come up with songs. And I kid you not, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone else, but I was, when the last time I was in Mississippi, we were telling, I think maybe her boyfriend about this. We were telling someone about it. I'm almost sure it was her boyfriend. We came up with this song, and I'm gonna tell you the song, and then I'm gonna tell you what it sounded like. Shortly after we came up with that song, I'm gonna Google when that song was released to tell you how young I was at that time. But this is a song we came up with. You're my angel, you're my angel, You're my one and only angel. You're my angel. You're my angel. You're my one and only angel. And then I always forget the third part, but it was like, you're the one who makes me smile. You're the one who makes me sing. You're the one who loves me so. You're my angel. You're my angel. You're my one and only angel. A short time later, I'm Googling right now. A short time later, we heard this song by Shaggy called Angel. And it was, you're my, girl, you're my angel. Hold on. Girl, you're my angel. How's it go? You're my darling angel. It was so similar. Yes, it was so similar. Girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. And when I tell you, we thought we could like take this man to court and sue him. Oh wow, it was released in 2000. Which means I was 10. That's when it was released. It was like 2 years before where we came up with it. Because at 10, that's when I moved to Crystal Springs. We moved to Crystal Springs. So around maybe 8, 9 years old, 7 at the very earliest, we came up with, you're my angel, you're my angel. Excuse me. You're my angel. You're my one and only angel. And then he comes out, girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. We just knew that man stole our song. Even now, it still feels weird. It's like, bro, how, bro? It was so close. Like, oh, that's why. First, it was, you're my angel, you're my angel, you're my darling, darling angel, you're my angel, you're my angel, you're my one and only angel. So that's why, because the darling was included in our song. So we're like, yo, this man, how this man steal our song like that? Bro, we thought, hey, conspiracy, man, conspiracies. So, again, I was the younger sibling, so I looked up to her. She was always smiling. Always smiling. When she wasn't terrorizing me, she was always smiling, always laughing. So naturally, I want to be fun like that. I want to laugh all the time. I want to have a good time. So we start joking on each other and then with each other and stuff. And I would just watch her. You know, she always had friends. You know, she always had friends. People loved hanging around her. Still do, of course, but I'm talking about past tense. People always want to be around her. You know, they always want to hang with her because she was funny. She was goofy. Always made people laugh and, you know, had a good time. So people just always want to be around her. So I'm like, I want to be like that because I want people to want to be around me like that. So we got closer, you know, because it's not like we were ever distant, but we started getting closer because I was drawing closer to her, basically. And, oh, excuse me, man. I should not have drank that beverage. But so she was always just, she always had, it was like she always had fun around her. And she was the creator of the fun, right? Which made it even better. So, you know, that was something early on that I was like, I want that. I want to be able to do that. You know, I want people to want to be around me. I want to be the fun. You know, I want to be the source of the laughter. You know, I always want that. And, you know, we moved to Crystal Springs. And I remember her being very upset at the beginning when we moved because she didn't have friends yet. And she was like, you know, really upset. She's like, I don't know nobody, I don't have friends, I don't think nobody like me. But I wasn't worried because I had soaked up a lot of game from her, you know, as far as how to be funny and, you know, have people want to be around me. But of course, later on, very shortly, she had friends again. Was always kind of like in the in crowd. Real quick, one thing that I remember, this is when we were in elementary at Timberlawn. For some reason, and I was in the second grade, so I was very young, but for some reason I had to go to her classroom. And I think I gave her a note or something or told her that our parents was picking up. I had to tell her something. And there was a girl sitting beside her. And she was like, "That's your brother?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I'm walking away at the time. And as I get ready to close the door, she's like, "He cute." Door closes. So at that point, I'm like, females like me. It kind of started registering then. Second grade. My childhood is crazy. I'm not even going to go there because it's not about me. But yeah, so it started flashing in. So then we're middle school, high school. Like I said, she's always kind of like, she was always popular. You know, she was popular. Everybody knew her. Everybody loved her. Teachers, students alike. She was always in the in crowd. And again, I wanted that. So seeing her be that and then adding my personality to it gave me the ability to kind of float around. I could hang with the nerds, I could hang with the jocks, I could hang with the popular kids, you know, I can hang with pretty much anybody. But that all came from me watching her and observing her, you know, just having fun, you know, and not judging anybody, not talking down to anybody, just wanting to be nice, you know, just being a genuinely nice person. And we always had this, again, friend-enemy relationship where, and it changed to where we could talk about each other, but no one else can. Because if you talk about her, I'm on you. And if you talk about me, she on you. So then we started being really like the dynamic duo, man. Oh, and to give you an example how early this was, us being the dynamic duo, we went to the Boys and Girls Club when we were younger. I was in second grade, she was in the fourth. She won a tournament of bumper pool, which is not an easy game. It's much more difficult than regular pool. She won a tournament of bumper pool in the fourth grade. And there were two other siblings, two brothers. They were like the top people before we got there. One was named Brandon. I don't remember the other one. I think Brandon was the one I had to go against. But I think they were twins, by the way, because if I'm not mistaken, both of them were in the fifth grade. I was in the second, right? One brother had to go against my sister in the finals, bumper pool. She beat him. I think he cried. Either the brother that she beat cried or the brother I beat cried. But one of them cried. It might have been the one I beat because I was so much younger than him. But I won the tournament of foosball. At that moment, because those are the two main things that they had contests on. And then we were the two best swimmers. But we learned that at the YMCA. But we were the two best swimmers in our class. So we were always the dynamic duo. Whenever we're together, greatness is going to happen. Okay? That's even now. If we're together, you're laughing. It's just not, you're not going to have a straight face if me and my sister are together. It's just not possible. We are the dynamic duo. We play off each other too well. We know each other too well. We can hear someone say something or watch someone do something, and as soon as we look at each other, we're just busting out laughing because we already know where we're going with it. Yeah, so we were the dynamic duo for a long time, man. Even when we started going to the new church, once we got to Crystal Springs, we started going to a church in Utica, Straightway Ministries. And they had, it's a family heavy church, you know, where most of the people are related to each other. And initially when we got in, you know, we kind of laid back and peeped the scene. And after a while, we were two of the, as far as outsiders go, we were the highest ranked outsiders. But even inside, we were still high ranked because you're not having a bad day around us, especially if we're together. Our ability to laugh and make people laugh and get out on each other, talk trash to each other and about each other, it just again made people want to always be around us. But again, I pay a large amount of that to her because I watched her when I was younger and was like, I want to be able to do that. So me being able to pull from how she was doing it made it to where I was able to do it too. So and even to this day, and I'm my preacher swag, I'm getting ready to close, but even now she's still inspiring me and leading me, and she doesn't know it as much, and that's on me because I don't communicate it as much. That's another reason why I'm doing these podcasts. But even now, you know, she's an entrepreneur who, even though she has a full-time job, she's building her own brand. Check out her page on Facebook, Nikki's Treasure Chest, NIKKI'S Treasure Chest. She's a one-stop shop, man. Clothes, shoes, purses, electronics, all of that. You know, she's a one-stop shop, man. And you know, watching her build her own is one of the reasons why I want to build my own. And I'm like, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. Not because she's less than, or, you know, she can do it, I know I can. Like, you know, not like that, but she makes it easier to believe that it's tangible for me, that it's possible for me, because I've seen you. I've seen you grow. I've seen her go through her heartaches. I've seen her have to learn some hard lessons. And that a lot of people don't know this, and parents, this is a tip for you if you didn't know this. The youngest child is usually the most perceptive child, because everyone's older than me, everyone's able to do more things than I can, so I have to watch. Your youngest child is usually the watchman, the one who observes most things, the one who has a higher sense of awareness, because they had to sit back and watch so long. It's a part of their nature now. That's how I am. So me sitting back and watching, you know, watching her again build it, you know, build it. It's definitely an inspiration. It's definitely inspiring. Super proud of her. Ningo, I'm proud of you. Super proud of her. Appreciative of her. Because if I ever need to call and talk about anything, it doesn't matter what it's about. I'm not crying, by the way. I'm just sniffing. I can call her. And I appreciate that, you know. I love my family. I have the type of family where I can say anything, and I know I won't be judged. I will be chastised if necessary, but it'll be out of love. I know that I won't be judged. And that's a level of peace that I can walk around with that many people can't. And I believe that's one of the reasons why my family has reached out to so many people. Because even my sister, she has so many godchildren, just like I said about my mom and dad. And I have a few as well. But we just have the heart to want to know, to let people know that they can be loved. But to you, Bethany, I love you. I appreciate you. Keep pushing. Keep growing. Keep maturing. Keep learning. And don't look for the plug, be the plug. I appreciate you guys for watching, for listening, for sharing, for commenting, for supporting, for donating, all of that. I appreciate it, guys. I truly, truly do. Thank you. This is the end of this series. I appreciate you guys for going along this ride of a month full of memories. I hope I made you guys think, feel, smile, have a good time. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I have. I love you guys. Talk to you later.